Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
I am Talon Williams. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to week 14 of Are You Ready for Some Football? We're getting down to the wire, man. We only got a couple of more weeks left in the regular season. Chip, what'd you think overall about week 13 and how it shaped out to be?
Man, there were some really good games this week.
Yes, there were. One horrible one.
like we said last week, that Broncos Texans game was phenomenal.
It was really good. Yes,
49ers Eagles game was insane.
Yes, it was.
But what I think game of the week was actually the Monday nighter, that Bengals Jaguars game. Holy shit.
Yeah, I got a chance to watch the highlights of that, dude, and it was great. Unfortunately, Trevor Lawrence did get hurt in that game. I haven't heard any prognosis as of yet on how the injury is now.
Last I heard, it was a sprained ankle.
Okay.
They just don't know how bad it is.
Is it bad enough to rest? You think it's bad enough for him to be what's the word I'm looking for here? Cautious, go ahead and rest them a week? Or, I mean, they're still in the playoff hunt.
Yeah. So they're announcing it as a high ankle sprain, but no prognosis of how long he's going to be out.
Okay. Well, hopefully he can, you know, stay healthy in that situation. You never wish, you know, pain or suffering on anybody unless they're, you know, the Jets. But moving on to the next, I'm kidding. Moving on to the first games that we're going to talk about this week. I guess we'll kick it off with the Miami game this week. Miami and Washington. Miami just pretty much had their way with Washington in this game. 45-15. The Dolphins are now 9-3, and they are the number one seed in the AFC for the first time in like 20 something years. I think they said 28 or 29 years since they've been the last number one seed after week 15, I think is what it was. It's the best start to their season at 9-3 in about 20 something years. Overall, how'd you feel about Miami's win over Washington?
I hate to say this, and I feel like I say this every week, but you know, it was as expected. That Dolphins offense is too high powered right now.
Yes.
I don't think they're the best team in the NFL. We'll talk about that later. Made a post about it on Facebook earlier this week. But they're up there, you know, as one of the best teams, at least offensively. I think there's a couple of things they could shore up on the defense.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Tua's doing Tua things. Tyreek's doing Tyreek things. You know, your run game is doing well.
Yes.
It's doing well enough that people are leaving Tyreek wide open.
it's not even fair at that point. I do want to give this man his flowers, man. Van Gunkel, man, coming out of nowhere with that interception that Sam Howell did not even see. Like, I assumed he was going for a obviously it was a screen pass out to the wide out, and Van Gunkel just come out of nowhere. I guess he saw the play develop before it actually happened and just walked in, snatched it, and ran. It's like, God, how do you – like, it reminded me a little bit of Troy Polamalu, how he would run up and just jump the line right at the snap and get the quarterback or cause a fumble or something. Like, that's what it reminded me of. And he has put in a lot of work this week, especially with Jalen Phillips being out for the rest of the year. So it does leave a hole in that linebacker position for the Dolphins. But, you know, Van Gunkel stepped up, man, and, you know, happy to have him on team. He's a dog. He really is. That being said, let's move on to the very next game on the docket, the Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans. The Texans pull away with a victory 22-17. How did you feel about this game overall, Bubba?
I was happy that we won. We won in, I won't say dominating fashion. Our defense really showed up. You know, pressured Russ a lot. Had three takeaways. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, on the offense, we lost our I would say what is our best wide receiver in Tank Dell. Probably for the rest of the season, unless we make a deep run into the playoffs with a fractured fibula. On a play that almost makes no sense as to why he was where he was at. So, you know, it was just a goal line, you know, second and goal from the two. They hand it to Damian Pierce and, you know, everybody's bunched up right there. And then we got, you know, 5 foot, 860 pound Tate Dell in the middle of all this, trying to block people. And I'm like, why is he there? Like,
right.
That's the one thing, like, and I get it. Like, you know, he's wanting to do his part and block or and everything. And he's really good at that.
Right.
But like, I just, to be in the middle of the pack like that, I'm not sure why. And I, you know, I hope for a speedy recovery. Now CJ did have a couple of fumbles. The Broncos defense really put some pressure on CJ this week. You know, there was several plays where, you know, guys were just unblocked and, you know, sacked CJ or whatnot. But, you know, all in all, I thought it was a good team victory. Yes. You know, Russ and the Broncos, they were making a drive down the field, and had it been not been for Ward, I can't remember his first name.
Jimmy Ward. Right off the top of you.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, with the interception in the end zone to seal the victory.
Yeah.
The Broncos had a chance to win.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, they definitely had a chance to win. And flowers to Nico Collins, man. Maybe Nico's best game, 9 receptions, 191 yards and a touchdown. So shout out to Nico Collins.
He definitely had a Tyreek-esque game.
Oh, yeah.
The statistics, you know, I think Tyreek had like maybe 10 receptions and just a few more yards than Nico. They were, you know, on pace with each other this game, obviously, you know.
Well, I mean, Nico actually had more receptions and more touchdowns. I'm sorry, more receptions and more yards than Tyreek this week. Tyreek was only 5 of 157. The only category Tyreek beat him out in was touchdowns, and he just had one more than he did. But nevertheless, man, Nico, I guarantee you, if they focus, I know C.J. Stroud has a lot of weapons at his disposal. He has Nico Collins. He has Noah Brown. Tank Dell, you know, hopefully he can come back and have a speedy recovery, man. But Nico could be that guy, dude. I think people are undervaluing how good Nico Collins is. I really do.
I think the reason people undervalue Nico Collins is because Nico Collins has been in the league for 3 years, and this is the best season he's produced. But also, I believe this is the best quarterback he's had in those 3 years.
Well, yeah, he played with Deshaun his rookie year. Am I correct? Or was Deshaun already on the outs at that point?
I think he may have played with Deshaun on the rookie year. Then he had the Davis Mills year.
Yeah. Yeah, but you also got to remember in Nico Collins' rookie year, Brandon Cooks was still there, and I'm trying to think of that other wide receiver you guys had that was also was like opposite. Unless Nico's always been your number two, which I don't think he has.
No, he hasn't. Because
Will Fuller, Will Fuller.
Yeah, Nico actually sat a good portion of his rookie season. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that being said, let's move on. The Baltimore Ravens finally had a bye week this week, so Baltimore didn't play this week. But we are going to move on to a game that surprisingly was not even close. Like, it shocked me that this game turned into what it turned into, because I honestly thought that it was going to be closer than what it was. The San Francisco 49ers and the Philadelphia Eagles, the two best teams in the NFC, probably the two best teams of the NFL, playing against each other in this game. And I thought this was going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight, and it wasn't.
Well, there was some fights, but...
Oh, well, there was some fights, but not the... I was speaking more as the actual game itself, not the beforehand. I do think it was funny, though, that a lot of the San Francisco 49ers came dressed in all black and said, "It's like, why'd you guys decide to dress in all black? We're going to a funeral." You know? 42-19, dude. Like...
Yeah.
42-19, man. The 49ers just creamed the Eagles, dude. How do you feel overall about this game and this beatdown? Just the place.
It was... Yeah, I didn't expect... I expected the 49ers to win. You know, I just think their defense is better. But it was almost as if the Eagles forgot they were playing. You know, there were a lot of egregious penalties that I remember. There was fights on the sideline, fights between players and non-players. You know, so it was just I was really shocked that it was the blowout that it was.
Yeah, I was too. Brock Purdy actually came through and, you know, 314 and four touchdowns on the day. Many, many people now have Brock Purdy in the MVP conversation. The thing about it is, though, is that I can't really put him. There's several factors that go along into being MVP.
Yes.
And the thing about it is that, like, because let's be honest, he has Christian McCaffrey. He has Deebo Samuel. He has George Kittle. He has Brandon Ayuk. He has Elijah Mitchell. He has a great defense that's protecting the 49ers on the other side.
Yeah, you got Bosa and Young on the defense.
Fred Warner,
to name two.
Yeah. The thing about it is, though, with me, though, is that, like, if you look at if you go by just the statistics, you look at. He's like, he leads the league in quarterback rating. He leads the league in like yards per attempt. He leads the league in passer rating, which I don't know why they just don't go with QBR instead of passer rating. I still don't understand the concept of passer rating and why it's at a weird number, but whatever. That's beside the point. I mean, some people are making the case for Brock Purdy. Some people are making the case for Dak Prescott. Some people are making the case for, there's still people making a case for Patrick Mahomes, even though I don't think Patrick Mahomes is playing at an MVP caliber level, especially with them losing to the Green Bay Packers like they did this past Sunday night as well. Again, it goes back to what we were saying earlier in the year. No one's fearing the Kansas City Chiefs. And after what San Francisco just did, no one's fearing Philly anymore either.
Yeah.
All the fear is now going straight to San Francisco. And I don't want to give Brock Purdy all the credit, but I think he deserves a little bit of some credit because he put forth in the work. It makes me think now, if Brock Purdy would have stayed in the game in the NFC Championship game last year, would the result have been different? Would the Eagles had still won the game? You know, it's a question that was posed, so that's why I'm kind of tossing it up in my head. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, you throw for over 300 yards and four touchdowns against a team like the Philadelphia Eagles and a good defense like they got, that kind of says something. You know,
so according to NFL.com right now, the leaders in the MVP race are Dak Prescott is number one. It looks like he is going, if the voting happened today, Dak Prescott would be your MVP.
Okay.
Right below him is Brock Purdy at number two. Below him is Jalen Hurts at number three. Mm. Now, the wild cards, the people on the outside looking in. At number four, C.J. Stroud.
That's a good pick, though. He's been playing his ass off.
At number five, Patrick Mahomes. At number six, Lamar Jackson. At number seven, Josh Allen. At number eight, Tua. At number nine, Tyreek. And
Christian McCaffrey at 10.
At number 10, Myles Garrett.
Okay. It's been a while since the defensive player won the overall MVP award instead of just the defensive player of the year.
Right.
I don't think it's happened since the 80s. I think Lawrence Taylor was the last MVP of the league, I believe.
I'd have to. I'd have
1985. If I remember correctly, it was 1985. It was 1985 because it was the year, because I always joke about it being the year before I was born, because it's like no defensive players won since I've been alive or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I just find it funny, man. There's eight quarterbacks that are like ahead. And you look at the pace that Tyreek Hill's going on right now, man. And again, and this might sound like a homer pick, and maybe it is in some cases, but I mean, you can't tell me that what Tyreek is doing right now is not incredible. Like, we haven't seen a wide receiver this dominant since Calvin Johnson did it, you know? And even before Calvin Johnson did it, it was a while before that, because we had Jerry. Randy. It's like Jerry Rice was like the prototype, and then Randy Moss took it to another level, and then Calvin Johnson took it to another level. And you're looking at what Tyreek is doing right now. A legitimate argument can be made that Tyreek Hill could be the first wide receiver to break that 2K mark. You know, that's a possibility.
He definitely could. So right now, Tyreek is on pace to break the 2,000 receiving yards record. And C.J. Stroud, a guy from your team, and then I'm going to play Homer for a second. C.J. Stroud is on pace to break the all-time passing yards record. Right now, he's sitting at 3,500.
Mm-hmm.
The all-time passing record is held by somebody that one of our friends does not like, and we're talking about old Big Head himself.
Peyton Manning.
It's
like 5,700 and something, isn't it?
Yes. I looked up the wrong stat. Sorry.
You're good. Give me some of this pink lemonade while you looking that up real quick.
Season. Yeah. Peyton Manning with 5,477 yards.
Okay, so I was close. Depending on how CJ plays for the rest of the year, and you got 4 weeks left to play, even if you average, you average 300 yards a game, that's 1,200 extra yards. I mean, you wouldn't quite make it, but you'd still have a pretty good case. You'd be close, right? Depending on the opponent.
Right now, C.J. Stroud ranks he's not in the top 250.
Gotcha.
For a single season.
Yeah.
But mind you, it's only been 13 games. You know, we're playing. There's, what, five more games in the season?
Yeah, five more games in the season, yes.
You know, so you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, Tua's on pace to break the 2K receiving yards mark. CJ's on pace to break the all-time passing leader mark in a single season.
You mean Tyreek?
No, Tyreek is on the receiving.
But you said Tua. You didn't say Tyreek. You said Tua. It didn't hit me until just a minute ago. I'm like, did he say Tyreek or Tua? I was like, all right, whatever.
I mean,
it's same team, same colors. You know, it's all good.
Same team. Yeah.
Yeah. Although it would be interesting to see it happen, since it hasn't happened in a long time. But his play time does get reduced in the fourth quarter, which in a weird way I understand why. Breaking the record would be cool, but you know, you want to kind of save yourself for the postseason, especially if you are going to try to make a Super Bowl run. And the Dolphins, let's be honest, this year is probably the best year that they've had in a long, long time of possibly getting to that Super Bowl mark. I mean, it could happen.
Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, five of the top 10 single season passing records are held by one person.
Five of the single season passing records.
Single season passing records are held by one person.
Ooh,
one quarterback.
I don't think it's the obvious answer.
What would the obvious answer be?
The obvious answer, I think, would be Peyton Manning, but I don't think that's the correct answer.
He only holds one of the top 10, and it's number one.
I'm going to go Drew Brees.
That is correct.
Yes. Okay.
Drew Brees holds spot 2, 6, 7, 8, and... No, I looked at it wrong. So he only holds 4.
Okay.
But that's the most.
Okay. Okay. So I'm assuming Brady's on there. He'd have to be on there at least for the 2007 season.
Brady's at number 3.
Okay.
And 5. So yeah. It goes Peyton Manning at 1,
okay.
Drew Brees at 2, Tom Brady at 3, Patrick Mahomes at 4.
Yeah.
Brady at 5, Brees at 6, Brees at 7, Brees at 8, Ben Roethlisberger at 9, and Jameis Winston at 10.
Really? Mr. 30 for 30 himself has a top, is a top 10. Yep. Okay, that's insane. Wait, was this, it had to have been with Tampa Bay, right? Had to be, right? Does it tell you what team he was with at the time that he broke? What year was it?
It was 2019. It's Tampa Bay.
Okay. I was really, trying to think when he went to the Saints.
Yeah, it's really interesting. They, on Pro Football Reference, they abbreviate Tampa Bay TAM.
For Tampa Bay, which normally is just TB, you know, which I understand. You understand why, I guess. But that being said, that is the games for week 13 and a little bit of trivia. Go ahead. Well,
real quick, let's go ahead and talk about that Sunday nighter. The Packers beating the Chiefs. Completely unexpected. And it wasn't that they just beat them. It was they beat them pretty handedly on all aspects of the game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they won 27-19, you know, but they were just, I mean, if you look at just the stats themselves, Jordan Love was 25 for 36 for 267 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yep.
On the flip side, Patrick Mahomes was 21 for 33, 210 yards, 1 touchdown, but he also had an interception.
Yep.
Right.
Isaiah Pacheco basically carried that team for them. Sunday.
Right. He had 18 carries for 110 yards and 1 touchdown. A.J. Dillon had 18 carries for 73 yards on the Packers side. And then, you know, receiving, Travis Kelce was the leading receiver.
Of course he was.
for the Chiefs. But it was only 4 receptions, 81 yards.
Yeah.
Whereas Dobbs, I think it's
Romeo Dobbs.
He had 4 receptions for 72 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah, Christian Watson had them 2 touchdowns too that really helped seal the game, especially in that one seam route that he ran. That was really, really good route. A lot of people were talking earlier about this. I think I heard it on either First Things First. It may have been First Things First. I want to say it was because it was Nick Wright. Said that, you know, we can blame, you know, people are going to throw asperges at the officiating and things of that nature. But let's be honest. Kansas City lost that game. You know, they didn't have this game in hand from the very moment it started. And this is coming from Nick Wright, who is a very adamant Kansas City Chiefs fan. And so for him to say that Kansas City lost this game without having any bias involved shows, maybe they do have some Kansas City fans out there that aren't completely delusional. But I mean, they're not as delusional as Cowboys fans, but that's for a different discussion.
Right.
But it was crazy to see. But the one thing I will say about this game, though, I became a fan of Jordan Love, but Jordan Love is slowly but surely coming into his own as the next guy in Green Bay.
He is. He is. And I think, you know, they put some more pieces around him. You know, they're going to be good. And they're going to be scary good too.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about this Monday nighter as well.
Yes. Go ahead. Yes.
You know, it came down overtime. last minute field goal by the Bengals to win. You know, who's the kicker for the Jaguars? He missed that field goal in overtime to set up for Evan McPherson.
Yeah. Brandon McManus is the Jacksonville kicker.
Brandon McManus, he had that missed field goal in overtime, which allowed the Bengals to win on a field goal. But dude, this kid, Jake Browning,
I don't know where he came from either.
Well, so he played college at Washington.
Okay.
And he just kind of been around. This is only his second start in the NFL. Trying to see. I don't think he's played anywhere else, but in Cincinnati. But
find out where he was drafted at.
Yeah, he was 32 completions on 37 attempts. That's insane in itself.
Yeah.
32 for 37. 354 yards and a touchdown. Trevor Lawrence, yes, he got injured, but he was on pace as well. He went 22 for 29, 258 yards. He had two touchdowns. Now, Joe Mixon, that's the guy that really helped them, you know, put it over the top. 19 carries, 68 yards, but he had two touchdowns. You know, Etienne, he had 11 carries for 45 yards and a touchdown. Evan Engram, he was the leading receiver for the Jags. 9 receptions, 82 yards and a touchdown. Jamar Chase was the leading receiver for the Bengals. 11 receptions, 149 yards and a touchdown. You know, this Jake Browning kid just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And if Burrow is not careful, he could lose that job.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe so. I actually found out why we haven't really heard anything of him. Okay. Is because he wasn't drafted. Well, he was drafted, but he wasn't drafted. Let me explain. He declared for the 2019 NFL draft, which is the same year that you saw guys like Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, Daniel Jones, Josh Allen, Jacksonville's Josh Allen, not Buffalo's Josh Allen, TJ Hockenson, Jeffrey Simmons, Josh Jacobs was in that draft. Debo Samuel was in that draft. AJ Brown, Miles Sanders, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin was in that draft. Dawson Knox, Max Crosby. I'm just going through just the names that I know. Tony Pollard was in that draft. Matt Gay was in that draft. Hunter Renfrow was in that draft. Jake Bailey. He did not get drafted until... Didn't get drafted at all. Didn't get picked up at all in the official draft. He was an undrafted free agent who signed with the Minnesota Vikings. As part of that, he went to college at Washington in the Pac-12. Yeah. And he pretty much was with Minnesota from 2019 until 2021. And then he was only on the practice squad then. And then he was active in when he signed with the Cincinnati Bengals to back up Joe Burrow. In his career, he has only completed. Well, he's completed 75.6 of his passing attempts, 59 completions to 78 attempts. He has a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio, has only thrown for 649 yards, including the yards in this past game. Now, granted, he's only had this was his first, I believe, his first official start.
He played last week too.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so he has two official starts. There we go. So two official starts as a Cincinnati Bengal. He didn't play any in Minnesota because, like I said, he was on the practice squad. But, we'll see what happens. If he continues to play like this, I don't know if he'll replace Joe Burrow, but I think that some team will be like, hey, that Jake Browning kid out of Cincinnati, he might have something. Let's bring him in and, you know, see what he can do. You know, right. Maybe a team like maybe Chicago or maybe New York or somebody like that would probably take a chance on somebody like that.
I don't know. I think Tony DeVito's got that job in New York for the Giants.
Well, certainly. I mean, he's been playing decent. Well, he's playing great by Giants standards. He's playing decent by the NFL standards, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because the Giants are not a good football team. But nevertheless, let's move on to, unless you have anything else you want to say about week 13.
It was my best week yet. Won the week. I actually won the week with 10 wins, 3 losses. You, Roger, and Braden tied at 8-5. And poor old Chad went 7-6.
I knew that damn Carolina Panthers pick would bite me in the ass. I threw it out there. I figured I smelled an upset. It was almost. It was close. It was like 2 points off, 2 or 3 points off. But nevertheless. All right. So that being said, let me click this button. There you go. We're going to move on to the power rankings for this week. I guess we'll kick it off with, obviously, the worst team is the Carolina Panthers. We all know this. And New England's number 31. Suck it. All right. So, moving on, we're going to move to So the Denver Broncos, after their loss to the Texans, have dropped down from 15 to 16. So they're at 16 this week.
Okay.
At number 10, staying at 10, are the Cleveland Browns. At number 9, bumping up 2 spots, are the Houston Texans. At number 8, dropping down 1 spot, are the Jacksonville Jaguars. At number 7, bumping up 1 spot, are the Detroit Lions. At number 6, bumping down 2 spots, the Kansas City Chiefs. At number 5, bumping up 1 spot, finally, are the Miami Dolphins. Bumping up 1 spot to number 4 is the Dallas Cowboys. Dropping down 2 spots are the Philadelphia Eagles at 3. Baltimore stays at 2, and the new number 1 bumping up 2 spots are the San Francisco 49ers.
I think they should be.
Okay.
This goes back to what I was saying earlier when I said, you know, the Dolphins, they're not the best team in the NFL, but they're right up there. In my opinion, the 49ers, after the shellacking that they put on the Eagles, their record is not as good as the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with the addition of Chase Young and getting everybody healthy, that the San Francisco 49ers look to be, I mean, just maybe from the eye test, maybe it's just my eyes, they look to be the best team in the NFL.
I definitely agree with that. I definitely think the 49ers are the number one team right now. You could argue Baltimore, Philly, Miami. You could, you know, if you want to throw Kansas City in there, you can. If you want to throw Dallas in there, you can. Hell, at this point, if you want to throw Detroit in there, you can. But Detroit's on more of a prove it than they are of like good team. Does that make sense? Like, you know, like,
yes,
it's been so long since they've been somewhat good that it's more like, okay, are you good because your record says you're good, or are you good because you really are good, but now you have to prove that you're good because, you know, you lost pretty bad to Baltimore. You lost pretty bad to this other team. Like, are you as good as you say you are, and are you going to be able to prove it once the time comes for you to actually prove it?
Right. That's the thing. Like, we're all still skeptical of Detroit. Mm-hmm. We've been burned by them for years.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're all still a little skeptical of whether they're actually good or if it's just a mirage and they're not really doing what we think they're doing.
I'm not going to lie, dude. The way Green Bay's been playing, dude, and coming back the way they're playing, Green Bay looks scary, dude, especially as far as seeding goes. And I don't think they're going to end up winning the NFC North, but I do think they're going to give the Lions some scares. I really think they are, depending on the schedule that comes up and everything. But that was the power rankings. Before we get to the games this week, though, I do want to go over the playoff picture. In the AFC, we have the number one seed, the Miami Dolphins, are the number one seed because they hold the tiebreaker over the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens are the number two seed. The Kansas City Chiefs are 3. Jacksonville Jaguars are 4. Your 3 wildcard teams are the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Cleveland Browns, with the Houston Texans, Denver Broncos, and Buffalo Bills on that bubble. And the worst team.
Isn't the Steelers on that bubble too?
No, the Steelers are the fifth seed. Okay, Steelers are the wild card team.
They're five right now.
Yeah, they're the wild card team. And the worst team in the AFC is, of course, the New England Patriots. That still is so good to say. It's after all these years, fuck you, New England. And moving over to the NFC side, moving over to the NFC side, the Philadelphia Eagles, despite the loss of the 49ers, are still the number one seed, followed by the 49ers, the Lions, and the Atlanta Falcons, followed by the three wild card teams being the Dallas Cowboys, the Minnesota Vikings, and the Green Bay Packers, with the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Buccaneers still on the bubble. And the worst team in the NFC / NFL are the Carolina Panthers, who have already been statistically eliminated from the postseason, and more than likely will probably have, if they keep on going on the route that they're going, will more than likely have, once again, the number one overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft.
No, they won't.
You don't think so? Oh, no, the Bears are getting their pick.
The Bears will get it.
The Bears will get it. I totally forgot about that trade thing, man. It happens sometimes. But one thing I do want to do real quick, if I can find it real quick. Here we go. We did it last year. And this is as of right now, as of week 14, tankathon.com. These are the top 10 teams, which will go in draft order by the record that they have. It will be the Chicago Bears, the New England Patriots, the Arizona Cardinals, the Washington Commanders, the Chicago Bears again, the New York Jets, the New York Giants, the Tennessee Titans, the New Orleans Saints, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm looking for mock draft. Okay, so we click on mock draft. According to Tankathon, which we've used them before in the past, according to Tankathon, it's saying that Caleb Williams, a quarterback for USC, is slated to be the first overall pick going to the Chicago Bears. Other notable names, Drake May, quarterback of North Carolina, could be going to the New England Patriots. They have the Arizona Cardinals taking Marvin Harrison Jr. To be wide receiver for them. Other notable names, Brock Bauer, tight end from Georgia, could be going to the New York Jets. Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama, could be going to the Saints. Kool-Aid McKinstry could be picked up by the Las Vegas Raiders. The Houston, you guys have one pick, right? You guys have the 24th overall. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah, that's the pick from Cleveland.
Yes.
Because we traded our pick away to get Will Anderson.
Yes. You guys are currently slated to get Keelan King, cornerback from Penn State. Miami, who is currently right now at the 31 spot, is slated to get Kinsley Suamata. I want to say that's how that's pronounced. Offensive tackle out of BYU. Eagles are planning to get Adania Mitchell, wide receiver. Is it Adania Mitchell out of Texas, wide receiver out of Texas?
Oh, Adonon.
Adonon. Okay, that's a weird way to spell that. I actually like that name, actually. Adonon Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas, is slated to be the last pick in the first round at number 32, going to the fucking Philadelphia Eagles, which is surprising. I figured they'd pick a Georgia player. But as far as quarterbacks go, yeah, Caleb Williams, Drake May. They got Jaden Daniels from LSU coming out this year in the draft. Let's see. Michael Phoenix Jr. Could be – they got Michael Phoenix Jr. going to Minnesota for some reason. But nevertheless, and that's all what we have so far right now. It's just giving me the first round. Mock draft for that. And as we go along, we will talk more about draft picks and possible shaking up of playoff spots and shaking up of draft order in the upcoming future. But that being said, let's not waste any more time, Bubba. Let's get straight into this week, week 14 in the NFL. Hit me with the first one.
All right. First up, we're going to talk about the New England Patriots versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, this will be played in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a 6-point favorite with the over under being 30.5.
They're expecting Pittsburgh to score 30.5 points because I don't see New England getting that much.
Well, they are starting Bailey Zappi, so
that might
put a little spark back under him.
Maybe.
I'm gonna go with the Pittsburgh Steelers to win this one. But I don't think it's gonna be pretty, and I don't think it's gonna be a blowout.
I hope it isn't. I hope it isn't pretty. I do kind of hope for a blowout. No, it's gonna be Pittsburgh, man. For whatever reason, man, that defense is stepping up. Kenny Pickett has gotten way better than a lot of people thought he was going to do. I'm not saying he's the best. I'm not saying he's the worst. He's definitely not the worst. I can think of worse quarterbacks than Kenny Pickett right now. But he's got good – Dante Johnson is doing good. George Pickens has been helping out a bunch. Pat Freiermuth is a really good tight end, kind of underrated. I think he's a top 10 in the lower 10s, I think. And Mike Tomlin just figures out a way to coach his kids up, or coach his guys up, man.
He really does.
He might. I say kids, but I mean, hell, to it's like isn't the Pittsburgh Steelers like one of the youngest teams in the league right now? Like one of the youngest, something like that.
Yeah, I think they're one of the youngest.
Yeah. So, and with Mike Tomlin being there, and Mike Tomlin's been there for a good while. So yeah, I definitely got Pittsburgh winning this. I got a feeling it's going to be Pittsburgh across the board here. Am I correct on that?
So yes, Roger. Roger did not send his picks in this week. So Chad and Braden also picked the Steelers on this. So next up, we're going to talk about the Tampa Bay Bucs versus the Atlanta Falcons. This is going to be played in Atlanta, and Atlanta is a 2.5-point favorite with the over-under being at 39.5. This one was a little difficult for me to pick. Because, you know, the Falcons have been doing really good. Their defense has really stepped up. I'm just very skeptical of their offense. The Bucs, you know, they did just beat Carolina, but it's Carolina. So,
yeah.
And they barely beat them. It was 21-18. So, I'm going to go with the Falcons to win here. But this is another one of those games, like, I don't expect it to be pretty, and I don't expect it to be a blowout.
I don't expect it to be good, to be honest with you. I don't expect a good game out of the other team.
Maybe
Buccaneers could make it a little bit better. I don't see this as a good – who knows? It might be a banger, and we miss it, but – No, I got this weird gut feeling, man, that the Buccaneers are going to pull off the victory. I feel like, and my reasoning for it, if the Buccaneers win, they're going to be 6-7, which makes the Falcons 6-7, which means there's a tie for the NFC South crown, and it blows my mind that a mediocre team in a mediocre division is going to get a home playoff game. You know, which I mean, hell, but they won their division. So,
yeah,
you know, at least I can say they win their division. You know, it's not like, it's not like you win a conference championship and then you get exiled. We'll talk about that later. And I hate that team, by the way, and I still think they should have got it. We'll talk about that in a second. Go ahead. We'll discuss.
Okay. So Chad's going with the Falcons. Braden is also going with the Bucs. So you and Braden are going Bucs. Chad and I are going Falcons.
Picking the birds. I get it.
Yeah. Next up, we got the Detroit Lions versus the Chicago Bears. This is going to be played in Chicago. And Detroit is a 3-point favorite with the over-under being 40.5. I'm going to go Lions here. I have absolutely zero faith in the Bears. So, yeah.
I'm also going to go with the Lions in this one. The fact that they're a 3.5-point favorite as an away team means that if it was at home, it'd be like a touchdown favorite. And plus, the Bears' defense sucks. The Bears offensively are okay, but they don't – they put – once again, what we talk about again, too much emphasis on, you know, they don't protect the quarterback at all, you know, regardless of who's back there, whether it's Justin Fields or whether it was, you know, whoever the fuck McGee is back there. But yeah, Lions all the way on this one.
Pretty simple. Yep, it's Lions across the board there. Next game up is the Indianapolis Colts versus the Cincinnati Bengals. This is going to be played in Cincinnati. Indy is a 1-point favorite with the over-under being 39.5.
Interesting.
Yes. This one was another hard one for me to pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Colts, they're playing really good. They're on a 4-game win streak right now. They beat Carolina, New England, Tampa Bay, and a 5-game win streak. Because they beat Carolina, New England, Tampa Bay, Tennessee, and then just this week beat the Jaguars. Tidbit of trivia for you there, for the Bengals beating the Jaguars. It's their first away primetime win since 1990.
Woo!
That's... first primetime away win since 1990. Yeah,
that's crazy.
So I'm sorry, the Colts are on the 4-game win streak. The Bengals lost 3 in a row and then just beat the Jaguars.
Yeah.
So as much as it pains me to say this, I'm gonna go with the Colts to win this one, thinking that maybe the Jake Browning play was an anomaly, and you know, had the way my brain works, had Trevor Lawrence not got hurt, you know, I think that game would have went a little bit differently. But I think the Colts are all week going to game plan for Jake Browning, and then we'll see what happens. I think the Colts win this one.
I'm going to say the Colts are going to win this one too, and I think it's going to be very interesting how the AFC South has become one of the most competitive divisions in the NFL.
So this year could be the first year that the AFC South puts 3 teams into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you'll have your conference winner, which is between 3 teams right now.
Right.
The Jaguars are there right now. That doesn't mean that they're going to keep that spot. You have right. The Texans right behind them and the Colts right behind them. You know, it's going to be very interesting. Again, I think this could be, you know, the year that the AFC South puts 3 teams into the playoffs, and all 3 teams are not going to be easy outs. You know,
they're not going to be easy outs, but you also got to think, I mean, the AFC South is really, really good right now, but man, the AFC North is also really, really good right now. And like, when you think of the AFC North, not the South, the AFC North, the AFC North has, you know, the Ravens, the Bengals, you know, the Browns, even though they're, you know, the Steelers, even though the Browns are 7-5, dude, they are still there. They're still right there. And they can still, you know, makes cause some damage. But as far as this particular game goes, man, yeah, I got the Colts winning this one as well. The Bengals, I think that they had a good win with the win against Jacksonville, but I don't think it's going to carry too much momentum into the next couple of weeks. Yeah. So I'm going to go with the Colts on this one.
Right. Yeah. It's one of those, my gut is telling me the Colts are going to win. My heart wants the Bengals to win. That way it just moves Houston just another step up.
Or I get you.
Towards that playoff. Chad and Braden are going to go Bengals here. So
okay.
Next game on the docket, we got the aforementioned Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Cleveland Browns. Now, this is going to be played in Cleveland. Cleveland is a 3-point favorite here with the over-under being 30.5. We don't know if Trevor Lawrence is going to play or not in this game. He's listed as questionable. He does have a high ankle sprain. He could play through that. Maybe they decide not to play him through that. I am not sure.
I wouldn't risk it. Honest to God, I would not risk it.
I wouldn't risk it, but you know, they're trying to make that playoff run. Had they won the Monday Nighter against the Bengals, they would have been the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah.
They would have overtaken that spot and been the number one seed in the AFC. With that being said, I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Jacksonville to win this one.
Okay.
And that's just, I still don't have any faith in the Browns. What's your gut telling you? Yeah, my gut's telling me Jaguars. My heart's telling me Browns. That knocks the Jaguars down another peg. Houston right up there, you know.
Well, I am going to go with the Browns in this spot. I think the Browns being at home, it's a little bit more familiarity. I also feel like because, honest to God, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to start. If he does, I mean, it could make my pick a little bit more difficult to accomplish. But if I'm being honest, man, I mean, I look at the Cleveland. Yeah, I mean, and they've been faltering a little bit. They've had stop and starts. But they've also won games that they didn't think that you didn't think they'd win. I mean, no one expected Cleveland to beat Baltimore. You know what I mean? And you know, they were able to pull off that victory. So
right.
You know, so the Cleveland does have the ability to pull off a good win when they need it. Yeah. I think this is gonna be one of the situations where Jacksonville's probably gonna come in, I guess maybe a little bit more timid than they should be. Especially with the situation of Trevor Lawrence, you don't know if he's going to play or not. That's really the only thing that's leaning me more towards Cleveland is I don't know if Trevor Lawrence is going to be cleared to play.
Now you do remember, you do remember Deshaun Watson is not playing for the Browns. It's Joe Flacco, right?
Well, golly, Joe Flacco. Wow.
I'm just saying, I wasn't sure if you remembered that or not.
No. I thought they were still going with the young kid, the rookie. I'd take him over Joe Flacco at this point. Joe Flacco's a broken man at this point. I'm still going to lean toward the Browns on this one. It, being home, I think home field advantage will play a significant part in it. And I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout, but I am thinking it's going to be a pretty good nail biting finish. You know, we'll see what happens. I think they definitely need to heavily rely on their defense and their run game for this. I think.
All right. Chad is going to go Jaguars and Braden is going to go Browns.
We are splitting hairs tonight as far as like, you know, it's like two people here, or we all, you know, pick something. It's crazy. All right.
Yes.
So what's next?
So next up, we got the Carolina Panthers versus the New Orleans Saints. This is going to be played in New Orleans at the Superdome. And New Orleans is a 4.5-point favorite with the over-under at 37.5. I do think that New Orleans is going to win this game.
Yes.
I don't think there's nothing that tells me that the Panthers are going to win this game at all.
Nothing. I you know, in a weird way, you feel it's like, man, Bryce Young ain't got nobody to throw to, man. He ain't got an offensive line to protect him. This team is basically in shambles. They were the first team eliminated from postseason contention, so you know, they're mathematically eliminated. At this point, it's more like go for broke. You don't have Frank Wright anymore, which I think you should have handled that problem about 7-8 games ago, but whatever. But yeah, New Orleans all the way on this one, right?
Yes, Saints across the board there.
Yes.
Next up, we got the Houston Texans versus the New York Jets. This is going to be played in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Now, Houston is a 5.5-point favorite with the over-under being at 32.5 here. Obviously, you know where I'm going, where my heart lies. I'm going Texans on this. Now, I do think that the Jets' defense is going to give us a little bit of a problem because they do have a solid defense.
They do.
but I just have very little faith in their offense at all.
Not with Zach Wilson at the helm, you won't.
You know, the most points that they've scored in their last five games was actually against Miami.
Yeah.
When they scored 13.
Yes.
You know, they only put 6 up on the Chargers, lost that game. 12 up on the Raiders, lost that game. 6 against Buffalo, lost that game. 13 against Miami, lost that game. And they only scored 8 against Atlanta and lost that game.
Yeah.
So, some people may say, hey, it's the homer in me or whatnot, but I'm going Texans on this one. I have way more faith in the Houston Texans right now, even without Tank Dell on the field, than I do with the Jets. And they're pretty much healthy.
Right. Well, Chip's being a homer, I'm going to be a hater. Fuck the Jets. I'm going with the Houston Texans on this one. Not just, I mean, obviously, yeah, the Jets have a good defense, and they do got good players. Sauce Gardner's still one of the premier corners in the game right now. I mean, that's definitely who you're going to have on Nico. But the cool thing about the Texans is that if you got somebody covering Nico, hey, I got Noah Brown over here. You know what I mean? So Noah Brown could take a little bit of the edge off. Not to mention Daniel
or John Michi.
John Michi's been good too, dude. I really
or Xavier Hutchinson or Dalton Schultz or
by the way,
Jordan.
Did you like that video that I sent in the chat the other day about how the Cleveland Browns started the greatest, could have started the potential next great dynasty, and yeah, it's not even for their team, it's for the Texans.
Yeah, I did. You know? I agree with it.
Yeah.
I agree with it completely.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I think I got a funny feeling this is going to be Texans across the board, correct?
It is Texans across the board.
There you go.
So next game up, we got the Rams versus the Ravens. This is going to be played in Baltimore, and Baltimore is a 7-point favorite with the over under being at 40.5. I'm going Ravens here.
I'm also going Ravens here. I mean, could the Rams pull a surprise upset? Maybe, but it's not with the way the Baltimore's defense is playing.
I mean,
not saying Puka Nacua couldn't do a good job, or Tutu Atwell and all the other funny name receivers that they have in LA.
The Rams are on a 3-game win streak. Yes. They beat the Seahawks, the Cardinals, and the Browns. And the Browns have a solid defense, and they beat them 36-19. Yeah. So
it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'm still going to go Ravens, but it wouldn't surprise me if LA was to somehow pull off a crazy win.
Right.
You know, which I kind of hope they do, because that pretty much puts Miami up in the stratosphere when it comes to seeding. So hopefully we can get that home field advantage. But anyway,
right.
All right. So I think it's across the board, right? Ravens across the board.
Ravens across the board there. So next up, we got the Minnesota Vikings versus the Las Vegas Raiders. This is going to be played in Las Vegas. However, Minnesota is a 3-point favorite, with the over-under being at 40.5.
That's interesting. 40
that
half.
That is interesting, considering that Minnesota, in their last couple of games, they haven't even scored 40 points.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, they lost to Denver 20-21. They lost to Chicago 10-12. But then you look at the Raiders, and they lost to Miami 20-13. They lost to Kansas City 31-17. So,
which I mean, they looked good in the first quarter against Kansas City, scoring 14 unanswered, and then it just went straight downhill after that.
Right.
But
So I'm going to go with the Vikings to win this one. I still have little faith in the Raiders.
I really don't have faith in either one of these teams, to be completely honest.
I don't either, but I think the Vikings are on a better trajectory right now than
the Raiders. Absolutely, they are. So, I guess I'll go with Minnesota to win this one. Sure, why not?
All right.
This is one of those games where I'm just kind of like, they're both mid team, so I'm not really like, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I hope they have a banger, but you know, we'll see what happens. But I got the Vikings winning.
Right. So that's actually going to be Vikings across the board.
Yeah.
Next up, we got the Seattle Seahawks versus the San Francisco 49ers. And this is going to be played in Santa Clara, California. San Francisco is a 10.5 point favorite. And the over-under is 46.5.
Man, they don't want Seattle to score at all, do they?
right?
This one really doesn't need to be discussed.
Maybe Seattle will score once.
Maybe. And that's if Geno can find DK in the back of the end zone or something on a fluke play. Maybe somebody blows coverage or something. I don't, man. I think this is pretty safe to say this is 49ers across the board, right?
49ers across the board here. So the next up on the list is we got the Buffalo Bills versus the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yes.
And this is played at Arrowhead in Kansas City. Kansas City is a 2.5 point favorite with the over-under being at 47.5.
The fact that they are a 2.5 point favorite at home, it kind of makes me think, you know, because if this was the Kansas City Chiefs of old and the Buffalo Bills of old, well, I'll take that back. If it's the Buffalo Bills of now, because right now Buffalo Bills are pretty mid. Kansas City's doing good, but they're not feared.
Right.
And there's something weird in me is telling me that the Buffalo Bills are going to end up beating the Kansas City Chiefs in this.
So I'm actually going to go with the Bills to win this.
Okay.
One.
Okay.
I
think we might be the only two.
just my prediction. I think the Bills are going to win this one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think I got the Bills too. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. Because obviously I think it's been well known over the past several years, especially in the playoffs, these teams don't like each other.
Right.
So anytime they battle each other, it's going to be a fight.
Yes.
Maybe not physical, but definitely a fight.
So Chad is going to go with Bills on this one.
Interesting. Okay.
Braden, however, has picked Kansas City Chiefs.
Yay, we finally have an odd man out on this one of the games.
Yes. Next up, we got the Denver Broncos versus the Los Angeles Chargers. This is going to be played in Inglewood, and we've got the Chargers.
Inglewood.
Yeah, the Chargers are projected to win by 3 with the over-under at 43.5.
Okay.
I am going to go with the Broncos here. They're coming in off of a heartbreaking loss to the Texans. I think they're going to be pissed off, fired up. And the Chargers, I mean, the Chargers just beat the New England Patriots and only scored six points. Do we really think that they're going to beat the Broncos? I don't, so I'm going Broncos here.
If they had a little bit of a better showing against New England, if they would have actually played like they are known to play, then they should have won by at least 30 points. It should have been a Miami Washington type situation, I think.
Right.
But the fact that this bad team held you, you know, granted, you shut them out. Okay, credit for the shutout, but you only scored 6 points. That gives me cause to pause, because at least Denver, even when Denver got their ass kicked by Miami and got 70 dropped on them, at least they scored 20 points. You know what I mean? At least they fought, you know? Yeah, I got Broncos in this one.
So that's going to be Broncos across the board.
Yes.
Next up, we've got
Sunday night main event.
Yes. This is going to be the Eagles versus the Cowboys.
Mm.
This is going to be played in Jerry World at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Dallas is a 3.5 point favorite with the over-under at 52.5.
That's a lot of points, man. Golly. To be honest, though, the way the San Francisco... Here's the thing. San Francisco beat the shit out of both of these teams pretty badly. And I'm trying to think of which beatdown was worse.
Well, San Francisco beat the Eagles 42-19.
Yes.
And
they beat the Cowboys 42-10, wasn't it?
They beat the Cowboys 42-10.
Okay.
So if we're just going on, yeah. So if we're just going off that alone, the Eagles seem to be the better team in this matchup.
Yeah.
Now, the Eagles did beat the Cowboys earlier this year, 28-23, mm-hmm. in what was considered a nail biter.
Yeah.
Does the Eagles look at their loss to the 49ers and say, hey, that's never going to happen again, and they go out here and they dominate the shit out of the Cowboys? Or do the Cowboys look at this and say, hey, the 49ers just beat them bad.
Yeah.
Let's study that game and see what the 49ers did, how they ran the ball, what plays they played, you know, et cetera, et cetera, and use that game plan to then turn around and beat the Eagles and tie this thing up at one apiece.
And if they win it, not only are they tied up in the division one apiece, but both teams will be 10-3. I think the Eagles still hold a couple of tiebreakers. I think it would still put them at the number one seed, but it would be hard to argue. See, Dak Prescott is playing at an MVP caliber level right now.
Yes.
Didn't Jalen Hurts get hurt or get taken off the field Sunday? Because they had Mariota had come in for him,
he,
right?
He came right back in.
He came right back in. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This one's a tough one to call. I didn't think it would be, but this one's actually a tough one to call. Because Dallas, we give Dallas, you know, we give Dallas hell because they're the Cowboys and, you know, fuck the Cowboys. But let's be honest. They're not a bad football team. They are, I think finally Dak is finally coming into his own. But once again, it's the Dallas Cowboys. It's prime time. It's NBC. It's Sunday Night Football. It's going to be one of those things where, as Stephen A. Smith would always say, some way, somehow, just wait, they will let you down. And I got a feeling it's going to happen again. So as much as I say this and I'm not confident about it either, because I honestly think either team has a good chance to win. But just because I have that weird feeling Dallas will do something to fuck it up, I'm going to go with Philadelphia to win this game.
I'm also going Philadelphia to win this game. I think they're going to, you know, come in and say, hey, not happening again. We're going to put an exclamation point on this. You know, we're done.
Yeah.
So that is Eagles across the board. Right. The next game up on our list is going to be the Tennessee Titans. We have two Monday nighters this week.
And I can't watch the one I want. Damn it.
Why?
Because one of them is going to be on ESPN, the cable network, and the other one's going to be on ESPN Plus, and they don't give you the option to switch.
So
that sucks. But it is what it is.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the Titans versus Dolphins first. Which is the one that you want to watch and you're not going to be able to watch.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to be played at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Miami is a 13-point favorite with the over-under being at 47.5. I think they're going to win by more than 13.
I do, too.
I'm taking Dolphins on the over.
I'm definitely taking Dolphins on the over.
Yeah. And I think the Dolphins.
With the Dolphins against the Titans, I take over on the point spread and the fucking odds. Like, I'll take the over on points, and I'll take the spread.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not even going to ask, because I already know that you're going to pick the Dolphins here.
Yeah. You know.
But it is Dolphins across the board.
Yes.
As well. All right. And our last game of the week, this is our second Monday Nighter, and it's the Green Bay Packers versus the New York Giants. Now, this is going to be played at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Green Bay is a 6.5-point favorite, with the over-under being at 36.5. I'm going with the Packers to win this one. They're putting pieces together. They're figuring things out. The Giants are playing okay, but I don't think they're playing good enough to beat the Packers right now.
That was
I'm going Packers.
That was the nicest lie you ever said. Oh, the Giants are playing okay. No, they're not.
I mean, okay. No, so
there's I could think of. They, okay, I'll tell you back. Hold they're on, not as hold bad on. As the car. Go ahead.
They're on a 2-game win streak.
Okay, we'll go with that.
They beat Washington 31-19.
Okay, we'll go with that.
They beat New England 10-7.
Well, New England ain't hard to beat in the NFL, to be honest.
New England's not hard to beat, no. But if I'm not mistaken, that New England game, there was some weather there.
Yeah, it was pretty bad weather, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, since the insertion of Tony DeVito, they have been playing better. So, I'm not saying that they're trash. They're just slight garbage.
They're not the dumpster, they're just the lid, I guess.
Right.
I think it's Packers across the board on this one, right?
It is Packers across the board.
Yeah, I really do like I Jordan Love is really, really stepping into his own and becoming the guy he's becoming the guy that Chad told us he was going to be. So I got to give Chad his flowers on that one. That all being said, what do you think game of the week is going to be? Because we got some good ones to pick from, to be honest with you.
Eagles-Cowboys.
Eagles-Cowboys.
Bills-Chiefs. I think Bills-Chiefs.
Jacksonville-Cleveland could be a low-key game.
Jacksonville-Cleveland, Colts-Browns.
You mean Colts-Bengals?
Oh, yeah, Colts Bengals.
Colts Bengals. Yeah, Colts Bengals could be good.
I was looking at the word. the way that they are on my spreadsheet, it's Colts Bengals, Jaguars, Browns. So gotcha. I said Jaguars, Cleveland, and then Colts, and I was looking still at the Cleveland still at line. The Cleveland and said line. Browns.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it happens.
Colts Bengals, Jaguars, Browns.
If you could pick an upset. Or if you think an upset could possibly happen, which game do you think it would be? As far as an upset goes,
What do you consider an upset? I mean,
a team with a bad record beating a team with a good record, or vice versa. Technically, I mean, slight upset, and then like, I mean, if it's a team, it's like if you're within like
okay.
Good example.
Here's an upset that could happen.
Go ahead.
Not confident in it, could happen.
Okay.
The Panthers could beat the Saints.
Yeah.
That's an upset.
That is a true upset because it's a 1-11 team beating a 5-7 team. Okay. Right. But if it's a team like Vikings Raiders, 6-6, 5-7, they're kind of in that area. You know what I mean? For another example, the Eagles and the Cowboys are only one game off, and they both are somewhat equal in wins. So if the Cowboys beat the Eagles, you can't really say it's an upset, but it's a slight upset because they were the lesser team by record. But if you look at like somebody like the Jets Texans, for example, Texans are three more wins than the Jets. So if the Jets beat the Texans, that would be considered an upset because the Texans have way more wins than the Jets do. Does that make sense? So that makes Seahawks beating the 49ers, you know, that's Titans beating the Dolphins, or Bears beating the Lions. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen either, but,
or Patriots beating the Steelers.
That would be upset of the week if it happened, but I don't know. But
yeah,
that being said, yes, that is week 14 of Are You Ready for Some Football, ladies and gentlemen. Let us know some of your picks, man. Leave them in the comment section down below. Tell us who you think is going to win the week. You know, what games are going to be bangers? You know, what game are you most looking forward to? If you are a fan of a certain team, rip your team. Let us know what team you're a fan of. And if you guys enjoyed this content, man, let us know, man. We'll keep on, you know, rolling it out for you guys. We really do appreciate it. Chip, anything you want to say before we get out of here tonight?
As always, please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe on Spotify and right here on YouTube.
Also, check us out on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And check out streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch and go copy some merch. Again, thank you guys for joining us tonight. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
I am Chip Hazard.
I'm Talon Williams.
And this is Movement Radio.
God's plan.